Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hey, everybody. Chuck Bonnewell, Julie Hayden here, True Straight Up on the Chuck and Julie Show, brought to you by ColoradoCitizenPress.com.
That's right. Good website. Check it out every day. Okay, so not very much to talk about today. Just same old, boring.
We'll talk about the FBI. Former head of the FBI, Mr. Comey, on Capitol Hill at the bottom of the hour. But right now, we've got one of our favorite people on the other side, Ted Trimba. He's a sort of Soros, and he'll give his analysis of last night. And, of course, we'll add in our own.
Well, I don't know. Hey, Ted, thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
I'm glad to be here. Anytime.
We'll let you go first.
Yeah.
I'll pretend I'm Chris Wallace. Ted, are you going to denounce? No.
Don't interrupt us, Ted. No interrupting us.
Your take on the debate.
Trump really came out hot. I think too hot. I think he could have had a lot more opportunities had he stopped interrupting all the time to let Biden talk. It would have increased the opportunity for Biden to make a stumble. Yeah. I think he ended up setting it up where Biden actually looked a little abused. You know, Biden got his own personal shots in here and there, what you don't hear much about in the press today. But one, you didn't get a sense that Biden isn't mentally there. He was on. I think, you know, he was not going at the pace of Trump. I do think that Trump didn't do himself any favors. I do think that their plan was go in, blow it up, you know, be Trumpian, you know, fire up the base, because I think that they need their base fired up a little bit. But I just think he hit the gas way too much. And I truly think, and you guys probably are not expecting all of this from me, but they really need to have them where they can shut the mic off, or at least, you know, on the first 2 minute, whatever that is, when they do the back and forth, let the back and forth happen. But not even letting somebody answer a question, that's just too much. I mean, and when you look at the worldwide press, it's brutal.
Well, although I would say with the worldwide press, I mean, we've seen people like tackling each other on the floor of parliament and stuff, you know,
yeah,
so far be it from them.
Talk about interrupting people, all booing and hissing and screaming at each other. The Italian parliament, I mean, they were all wear bulletproof vests.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure which press are we talking about? The Chinese Communist press?
Yeah, and, yeah, where they just put their people in prison cells.
Right, yeah. I'm not sure. I mean,
even Trump's people are having a difficult time explaining the behavior today. I mean, they're kind of falling on themselves.
Biden's the one who interrupted first, by the way. Just pointing that out.
I have to agree with Ted. I mean, exactly what you said, that he would have done himself a lot better by going after Biden a little bit later. He would have done a lot better going after Chris Wallace a little bit later and have it develop. And I kind of say in a cross-examination, you know, if you've got somebody you really want to tear into, you don't start off tearing into them, especially if you think they're going to expose themselves. You let them do it three or four times so the jury, yeah, in this case the audience, says, you know, stop him, you know, and encourage it on. I don't understand the tactics. I never understand the Trumpian tactics. And I thought...
There are.
Well, it's his personality, and I guess that's the way he does it. With regard to Biden, he did not come across as senile. He came across as old. He came, whatever that's going on with his right eye, I guess massive drugs seem to show up in his right eye.
Eyes used to be blue, but they weren't last night.
Now they're kind of
black.
Black. Yeah. Mm. And I thought Biden, by being rude, by calling him a clown, by telling him to shut up, did himself no favors. And I guess when I was watching it, I was depressed.
Chuck was depressed last night. We had very different reactions watching it.
Yeah, I was depressed. And then this morning I kind of went, well, after I went over the Telemundo poll, which was 62/3 for Trump and 1/3 for Biden, and some others I went on like NewJersey.com and some others. I think for those who had a ready diet of how bad Joe Biden can be. He wasn't as bad, and therefore we're disappointed. For those who'd never seen him before, he looked old and crotchety. Well, you know, if Trump has a problem with the truth, Biden is joining him in that room.
Well, let me tell you, here's my take on it too, because we were watching last night, and I would have said, and I kind of still feel this way too, that it was, in terms of winner or loser, I think it was a draw. I think Biden certainly had a lot more to lose than Trump did, and I think Biden didn't lose, which was kind of all he had to hope for. I think you're right, Trump, you know, could have handled it differently, but I wouldn't say that he lost either. My big question to you is, as a political strategist, you know, right before we went on the air, I was telling you, I had a conversation with my daughter who was actually unaware that there was any debate going on last night at all. And then she said, you know, it doesn't matter to me anyway. She said, no matter what happens in the debate, I won't be voting for Trump. And then I kind of laughed and said, I know where you're coming from, because no matter what happens in the debate, I won't be voting for Biden. As a strategist, I mean, do they do any good, really?
Do you have, you know, Bill Kristol and other people are saying that Biden should just drop out of the rest of the debates?
I definitely don't agree with that, because I think that there's an extraordinary opportunity for Biden in the next debate. In terms of the strategy, I think that it's a question of which strategy was, assuming that there was a planned strategy with Trump, which strategy was he employing? Was he employing the, I need to fire up my base more because in our numbers, you know, that's our primary concern right now? Or is it, I'm really going to go after the undecided voters? If it was the first, then he just overplayed it and was just too hot. If it was the second, then he failed miserably.
What about this?
Because undecided voters aren't going to react well.
I was wondering,
particularly
though,
suburban women.
Let him finish. I'm like Trump
and Biden. I'm wondering, though, whether Trump's strategy, because I agree, Trump was very combative. And on one hand, that's Trump, right? On the other hand, he is a smart man. And I wonder if maybe his strategy was to try to get a knockout blow. In other words, that he was just going to go attack, 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 not really worrying about the base, not really worrying about undecided voters, but really hoping he could just rattle Joe Biden enough that Joe Biden collapsed on the floor, foaming at the mouth or something. I kind of wondered that.
Oh, that may be. I mean, the thing about it was, Trump had great fire delivery, you know, and he could deliver lie after lie. Incite, you know, wrong numbers after wrong numbers and do it with confidence. I'm doing that to get fired up. But, you know, in terms of like just watching it, being there and like really in it, there was no doubt that he was really in it.
Yes.
This was a case of, you know, I don't know how he prepared, but he did.
Right.
I mean, to have that much stuff in your head and rattle it out like what he did.
Right.
There was some true preparation for him. Even though I was reading people like, oh, he didn't prepare. This is why he was like all over the map. I don't know if I agree with that.
Yeah. Well, I can't imagine if you're the president's staff, you're like, no, we're doing some, you know, we're going to pretend. Let's pretend a little bit. I mean, it's so much anymore. I think you have to take what you see and hear in the media with such a grain of salt, right? That Trump did zero prep, you know, and Biden, all he's been doing is prepping, and imagine who knows what the truth actually is. What do you make, though, of, like Chuck said, Chuck was depressed last night. He called one of his friends who made him even more depressed, who was another Trump supporter, where I kept saying, hey, I think it was a draw. Number one, I don't think it changed anybody's minds, but I don't think these debates do. But what were your thoughts when you saw that Telemundo poll, when you saw the C-SPAN poll? I mean, they clearly, people were not seeing it as a draw.
Yeah, I think that there were two different views of what happened, and they're very different views.
Yeah.
And I think, and I can see both. I can see how people could land in both. The one view is Trump just mowed him under. You know, he came out hot. He kept going at him, and too bad Chris Wallace couldn't control it. That was Chris Wallace's fault, you know, and, you know, he was more of an attack dog than Biden was. And then the other view is this was an absolute total disaster because Trump just monopolized all the time, didn't follow the rules, and they both got under each other's skin. So they said some things they probably shouldn't say. And in the end, Biden looked more statesmanlike than Trump. And I think you could have both views of that debate. It just kind of depends on your perspective.
Right. What glasses?
How you view each person.
Right.
And I think you come out with a third one, which I heard a lot of, which is it was a mess. Nobody won because it was so chaotic. Both of them appeared to be unpresidential. And it was a kind of a draw because neither of them really did a great job. And I think that's what most people saw. But having said that, I think, you know, people like myself are hoping that it exposed Joe Biden, and he certainly did not expose Joe Biden.
Right. Yeah. Joe Biden survived, which was, yeah. You know, the bar, like, you know, the bar was kind of low there, but he met that bar.
Right.
What are you, so a couple questions going forward then, again, you're the Democrat strategist, Ted Trimpa, what are you telling Biden to do? And what are you telling, if you were, you know, flip on your other hat, well, you don't have that hat, but what would you tell Trump to do if you
put
did
a Raj's
hat?
Hat on?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, on the Biden front, I do what he is doing, you know, this whole train tour and really doing blue collar areas, suburban voters, suburban women, mm-hmm. and really play off of, you know, Trump's performance was way over the top. He wasn't following rules. This is, you know, so Trumpian and really, really drive that home because Trump's in trouble. I mean, you know, 2-3 weeks ago, I would have said, you know, he could pull us out. It's there. I think that the numbers are starting to solidify in a way that he needs something bold that could do something good for him. And he needs a Biden stumble, or he needs, you know, some strategic move.
See, now my perception is, and Chuck, you jump obviously in here too. My perception is just the opposite. Isn't it so funny? You know, we live in parallel universes. Funny was a little while ago, I mean, a few weeks ago, I would have been like, yeah, you know, I don't know. But I know I go out and I talk to people, there are yard signs up in our neighborhood. And I think that people, the whole law and order thing, the riots, you see, there was Denver Business Journal had a story about in Denver, you can't sell a downtown condo to save your life because people are afraid. They don't like the homeless, blah, blah, blah. I mean, right. I would see just, to me, it seems just the opposite. I would have said before it was pretty close, but to me, I see Trump kind of slowly edging ahead.
Well
if the race becomes framed as law and order, then he definitely has a chance. You know, it's a question of what kind of protest activity is going to happen between now and when, you know, the overwhelming amount of the ballots are already in.
Well,
I think right now it seems more of the coronavirus world than, you know, 4 or 5 weeks ago when it was protest, law and order world.
Right. What I saw is if I just talk to people, I go around, my own perception of it is Trump is doing great. If I, however, look at the polls, and sure, some of them are biased. Sure, there's some other ways, but even in Rasmussen, he's got, you know, Biden has an 8 or 9 point lead nationally. I mean, it's hard to think that all the polls are biased.
Wrong, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to believe that there are that many shy Trump voters all around. So it's two dichotomous ones. One, I watch, you know, the people who are, you know, 4 years ago, well, maybe I'll vote for Trump, but I hate him. They're incredibly enthused and want to vote. They just want to vote.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people that like Jenny who just go,
no matter what,
I won't vote for Trump. But I run into very few people who have any enthusiasm for Biden. It is the vitriol against Trump or the like of Trump.
Yeah. It's definitely driven by vitriol. Against Trump, and he hasn't been helping himself lately.
No, he hasn't. Well, and never well with the media.
No, that's,
and so
that's
forth.
What he is.
But as a practical matter, you know, I don't think it. He's much better with a choice election. Do you want a senile, pathetic, corrupt old man
whose eye color changes?
Whose eyes color
and
changes?
And had a little wire sticking out here. So
while his son's in the back room, kind of figuring out how to get on the next airplane flight, snorting cocaine.
Oh my! And meanwhile, Trump has, you know, 3 Big Macs and a bunch of French fries.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, and a supersized Coke waiting for him.
Well, I don't know, compared to
is worse, though, Ted. I mean,
yeah, I'm sure when he gets back off the stage, he and Jill head right over to Dr. Feelgood to get him to sleep for the night, give him the Michael Jackson dose to get him through the next day. But as long as it's just Trump or not Trump, I think that's not good for Trump. I think Biden wants it to be just a referendum on Trump, which I think he does the best. And Trump does the best when it's, you know, it's a choice.
Yeah, socialism, law
yeah,
and order,
so, yeah, yeah. And I don't think anything was done last night to make it more of a choice, unfortunately.
Right. They could have done much better. I agree with you there.
Other than people for the first time seeing how bad, but not necessarily senile Joe, and how old Joe Biden has gotten.
Yeah.
So it's
what if, so, okay. So the, it is kind of interesting on Joe Biden's website. He says he favors a Green New Deal. Last night he said he didn't, you know, the people like on our side of the fence are making a big deal about, Trump got him to expose that rift in the Democrat Party, but Ocasio-Cortez came out and said, oh no, we don't even have a rift anymore. How does that play? I mean, Biden, some of Biden's answers clearly were not particularly progressive, right? How does that play with, you were talking about Trump's base, how does that play with Biden's base?
I think there are three things going on. I think, first of all, one, Biden in his heart is moderate. You know, he always has been. And so there's going to be kind of a natural default for him to do that. The second is Democrats really, 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 really want to win. Right. And at this point, even Ocasio-Cortez knows that she needs to toe the line for them to have enough power to where she can even do greater, grander things, at least in her mind.
Right.
And then the third is, I think we have to remember, and I've said this before on your shows, and that is, I still don't believe, and the numbers show, that when you take a look at all Democratic primary voters, they're not as left as you think.
Yes.
And, you know, there's a slice that's really vocal, and they're the ones that you see, the Ocasio-Cortez's when she's not toeing the line.
Right.
But that number is not as big as what people think. And, you know, the website, I'm sure there was a little bit of right hand not knowing what the left hand was doing.
Right.
But they know that, you know, in terms of the voters that they need to get, they can't be publicly saying they're for the Green New Deal.
Right.
I mean, saying that, in some ways, I analogize it to, you say you're for the Green New Deal. There's like the Green New Deal, and then there's right. the Green New Deal movement, like topics around it. And people right. are for the latter, just like Black Lives Matter and the
right.
Black Lives Matter movement. You know, right. most people, you tell them what Black Lives Matter actually says, and you're like, oh my God, I don't want that.
Right.
But when you take a look at, you know, the protests and all the people that are kneeling, you know, and it was overwhelmingly white, that means it's the BLM movement.
Well, I
think
that.
I think it's similar.
That makes sense. Okay, hey, we got a call. We'll take a call. We got
Shirley.
Sherry from Lakewood. Hey, Sherry. Welcome with Chuck and Julie.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. How about yourself?
Good. So there was a poll in 2020, and it said 77% of Democrats think that our country would be better off if our political and our economic systems were more socialist, compared to 14% of Republicans. So the reason I called, I wanted to bring something up. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yep, you're good.
Okay, so countries that are actually socialist rank at the bottom of every measurement of political freedom, civil liberties, personal freedom, and LGBT rights. Countries that have implemented real socialism and an end to market relationships with are like the Soviet Union, Tanzania, Venezuela, and they have less success. They're less successful at sustaining both prosperity and personal freedom for the capitalist countries. So the countries with the most freedom for gay people are those with a high degree of economic freedom. And yet your guest pushes and pushes to get people elected with a socialist bent. I don't get it.
All right.
Let
Sherry,
him respond.
The first thing I would respond with is, one, I don't know the numbers that you're talking about in 2000, because I do know the Common Sense Purpose Project has done numbers about where Democratic voters are, and they're much more moderate than people believe. And I also think when we throw around...
Okay. Hey, Sherry, hang up if that's okay, so we can have Ted. It's kind of confusing here with Zoom.
So and
okay,
I also think... I also think that, you know, you throw around the term socialism, there isn't a specific, this is what a socialistic model is. So one, I think that when you ask people that question, I'm not for sure, that's like asking, you know, people what the Green New Deal is, you know, ask 10 people and you get 20 different answers. You know, with that said, there isn't a Democrat outside of a super, super, super small slice that is going to say we should get rid of a market economy. And anybody who says that, you know, the trend line in terms of everything that we're talking about is going to get rid of a market economy. Now, do we believe there need to be better sideboards for the market economy? Absolutely. Do we think they need to be better incentives for reducing income equality? I mean, the fact of what CEOs make today, you know, compared to what, you know, their mainline employee is, taking that number today, comparing it to 30 or 40 years ago. I mean, that isn't healthy for society over time. So I guess basically the bottom line in terms of answering the question is, like, I challenge the premise a little bit, because I'd have to know, you know, who you're asking on Democrats. I haven't seen any of those. And we look at a lot of numbers. I haven't seen any numbers like
that.
Well,
there's no question that young people have been taught that socialism isn't so bad. You go to college classes.
Everything's free.
And they're,
you know, if it were Democratic voters under, let's say, 25.
Yes.
I would start to believe some of those numbers.
Yeah. Right. And I would, too. And you know, I think anybody who knows what socialism is, it means, by and large, the ownership of the means of production by the state. Certainly that's what Britain went under after World War II. That's what, you know, Venezuela and other places are. Bernie Sanders keeps on wanting to refer to Sweden or Finland or Norway. Norway has, the government does own the oil production. But those are basically not socialistic countries. They're big welfare states, but they're not socialist.
Right. Yeah. And there is a difference. I mean, yeah, people, right. to say we're socialist, then that would mean that, you know, for healthcare, for example,
right,
that then the government would actually own the hospitals.
Right.
And they would be running the hospitals, so the doctors would be employees of the government. And that's not what we're talking about. About health insurance program. We may not have health insurance companies, but we'll have fewer. Different than owning the means of production, like you're talking about.
In Canada, because I used to date a Canadian doctor, they do own the hospitals. The doctors are employees of the state, and a lot of people point to Canadian system as a model for Obamacare and everything else. And even Obama said, well, this is just a stopping off point till we really get the system we want. And then it becomes, are you going to have a Canadian system or maybe the British system? The British system does allow, Canada does not, private doctors and private
hospitals. Let me finish.
You know.
I don't think anything like that's going to get pushed by a Biden.
I'm sure it will be pushed
even,
by
even
Biden.
Close to that.
Well, who knows what Biden is? Not a human being. He's just a hologram of some person that used
here,
to be
I
there.
I want to read this quote
well,
from Leo.
I know. Let me finish.
Okay,
Donald Trump. You got Donald Trump over here.
Right.
Remember the old button? Let Chuck finish.
That's right. Let Chuck finish. We got to get
that. Anymore.
We got to get that button back.
But Leo has a funny comment.
I know, and it's a great comment. But let me kind of finish this discussion. So what is meant by socialism really is varies greatly, and it is interesting that the Democratic Party has become the party of big business. I think 9 of the top 10 billionaires in America are Democrats.
Chamber of Commerce, U.S. Chamber of Commerce is now. Can you just tell them not to tell people that?
I don't know. The workers don't have a party anymore. If they do want, it's Trump and not Biden. Because the huge international corporations who want globalism, because that's to their benefit, are all on the Democratic side. If you're talking about being on the right side of history, it seems to be a crushing for anybody in the middle class.
Well, and some of the evidence of that too is just the amount of union membership going down.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, if we had more of a statutory incentive to allow for more unionization, then I think the Democratic Party would be more the worker. But I mean, that's in part why Trump won
right.
in 16 in certain places, that people, you know, blue collar folks didn't see Democratic Party, didn't see Hillary as
right.
really the party that they're in.
Right. Well, and this is funny. This is going back to and this is just kind of Leo typed it in here. Your comment about Trump having a supersized Coke, and he says he could only get the supersized Coke because the debate was not in New York City. So let me ask you one thing too. So I think Cory Gardner and John Hickenlooper finally have a debate coming up, right? Yeah. I think having watched the Trump Biden debate, do you think that has any kind of impact on Cory and Hickenlooper? I mean, neither one of them are dynamos, it seems to me, on the debate stage. What do you see going on there?
Well, Corey's personality just isn't anywhere close to Trump's, you know, and he's always run kind of just, you know, even
flat line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And flat line. And that's, you know, in large part how he was then able to monopolize on other things that was going around on Mark. And he's trying to do that again.
Yes.
And, you know, and Hickenlooper, I think, has been doing a good job. The most recent ad, I think it's the best ad.
I agree.
Of this cycle,
yes.
You know, you know, Corey says this, but then Corey says this, maybe Corey right. ought to debate himself.
Right.
And you could really get a sense of John's personality in that ad. And if that is what comes out in the debate, then I think that will be great. If what comes out in the debate, similar to what happened when John was debating Andrew Romanoff in the Democratic primary, right. Then it'll be a little bit different because that wasn't the best performance.
No, we might have enough of a cushion, though. I mean, I still, while I'm very optimistic nationally, we're very depressed Colorado-wise.
I'd like, you know, the last poll showed Hickenlooper only up 5 points, and I think that's a direct result of the really barrage of negative advertising that was done to calling him corrupt. I think that stuck and hurt him. The debate, I think neither of them is dynamic. Neither of them is dumb. It'll be a bland debate. My guess will be a bland debate, which neither side will particularly win or particularly lose. As
they can just say we got that over with.
And right. even if it did, there is no local press anymore. I mean, the Denver Post has virtually disappeared. Oh, it has. It disappeared.
Yeah.
I guess you got sports.
The Glendale
Trophy
Chronicle.
Well, I know, but we're probably one of the few. And there is no way to get a message out anymore. I mean, you can get it on Channel 9.
You have like the Colorado Sun, but I think it's, you know, what, 17,000 people they're trying.
Yeah.
And I think that's close to a true journalistic outfit. And then you have some of the others flowing around, which they definitely have a bias.
Well, yes. There's no question that Colorado Sun has a bias, and anybody who could read it would see it
but
as
I
a bias.
Well, let me. Oh, Chad, just go finish. Go ahead.
Jeez. God, she watched too much of the debate last night. It has a clear bias.
I start calling you Julie Trump.
Yeah, Julie Trump. Yeah, exactly. And all of its reporters and all of its editors are former Denver Post people. And it's left wing. But not so far left that it doesn't have good journalists. It doesn't have good journalism. Right. It doesn't have stories that you can. The Denver Post almost doesn't have it. Bizarrely, and maybe it's not bizarrely, but the Colorado Politics and now the Denver Gazette are almost the same as the Denver Post, except that, you know, you'll get things that have nice stories on whatever rhino, Bob Beaupre of the week. And it's, yeah, I mean, it really is. Hey, let's go talk to Bob Beaupre again. So it's amazing how little, you know, the only good stories you can hope to get from somebody who purports to be statewide is the Colorado Sun, and that's left. So if you're on the right, you know, there are no outlets other than if you're a rhino, then you can get somebody attacking Neville or whatever conservatives are left.
Right. Well, I think you're going to see a evolution with Republican Party here. And I think that's because we're really starting to see now that I think there's real money on their side. You know, those primaries that, you know, the Rocky Mountain gun owners, Patrick Neville, that world lost those six primaries.
That's because the money was coming from Democrats.
Yeah. It was coming from you.
It was coming from you.
You put all the money in. You and the Clinton supporters and the daughter-in-law of Murdoch, who's a far lefty.
I mean, that's true.
Yeah, there's lots of money for all the people you bought off. But there's no money for real Republicans. You not only fund your own campaigns, you fund all these friends of the future ones and everything. You know, there is no Republican Party almost other than Patrick Neville and a few others. Because
I tell you, I think the only organization that you haven't gone after yet, and I'll tee it up for you, is Merge.
Oh yeah, we're trying to recall those guys up here in Westminster because our water bill went from like $160 to literally $500.
All because of the Emerge candidates.
Because of the Emerge candidates, yeah. So they're facing a recall. But maybe I shouldn't tell you that. Never mind, Ted.
So how is rigging this election going? what's amazing to me, you know, they said about the devil, the greatest thing he ever did was convince everyone that there was no devil. and the greatest thing that Democrats have done is convince everybody they don't rig the mail-in ballots. And the only time you see it, there was a story the other day about how much of rigging it, and the Secretary of State another corrupt Democrat.
In Colorado.
Trying to send out every ballot. But you have basically taken over the state, rigged all the elections. So there really aren't elections on a statewide basis. and yet there's almost no pushback from Republicans. How did you do that? Is it the money? Is
hypnotism?
Is it blackmail? Is it what?
Mind game.
Yes.
I mean, I'm always amazed how.
It's going to be a good year for us, though.
Huh?
Yeah.
It's going to be a very good fit. But the challenge we're going to face, though, particularly on the state level, you know, the state legislature, General Assembly, is making sure we don't go too far left. Because we're going to have...
Oh, not like last term. Yeah. What's too far left? Is it left of Cuba or left of Venezuela?
Well, no. I mean, if you thought last time was left, just hold on to your shorts.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. Yeah, we feel so much better.
Hopefully they'll clean the
It
Capitol.
Doesn't matter. You've rigged the election. That's why you go so far left. You would think that somebody would say, well, maybe it's an election year. We shouldn't go too far left. No.
Not anymore.
It's right this year, Mississippi, 1920. And the stupid Republicans are sitting there going, oh, no, you know, there's been no problems. You know, oh, what is this?
It's the liberal apocalypse.
So you're
predicting it. As you just said, if you thought the last session was bad, wait till the next one.
Patrick, even for you,
you're going to go so far left. It doesn't matter.
Jared Polis,
because there's no democracy left. There is no democracy left.
Oh, now.
You mentioned Mitchell, they're fine.
I think Jared's been doing a good job. I really
Oh, isn't it? He's screwing every one of us, every small businessman,
every bar and restaurant.
Oh, whoopee. He's come up with a fake
hook. And that's why
died yesterday.
And that's why his favorability rating hovers around 60.
Who determines the favorability rating?
Well,
you do.
Okay, so we control that too. Now we control all the polling.
What don't you control?
Yeah, pretty soon you're gonna be taking over bowling alleys and stuff too.
Well, I'm sure they already control them. Well, well, Topgolf will have a quota. You know, all the black people can get 20 extra points before they hit the ball.
Enough of that. What about 4 years ago?
You're part of the people they're convincing that the whole system isn't crooked.
I just want to move on.
You want to move on? We don't want anything unpleasant. Don't let the people know.
4 years ago, you came on our show when you were at KNUS and said that you were concerned, this is early on, but that people on your side were underestimating Trump. And we only have you for a few more minutes here. What's your sense now of where things?
Oh, it's very different now. I mean, the reason why I was thinking that back then was, and this is part of, there's something going on in that people are really upset with the system. They don't trust it. They don't trust the institutions. And Trump, you know, I don't know whether instinctively he saw it or he fell into it, but he took all those third rails of politics and not only touched them, he took out a sledgehammer and banged on them.
Right.
And it really fired up some people that I don't think necessarily would have fired up before or got them to think a little bit differently. I think now so much stuff has played out with him where he's his own worst enemy. And we've been able on our side to capitalize on that.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's, you know, and then particularly in an environment of the coronavirus, you know, his numbers around that are really bad. And more that we talk about that, the better off we are.
That's right. Yeah. You keep
the economy now, I think, is awash. You know, we may get some more numbers here in the next couple of weeks that could help Trump. But if, you know, some protests break out and becomes law and order, then, you know, some of this could close. But right. If the election were today, it would be a Biden blowout.
Do you think? Now, I think Biden he's hopefully for your guys' sake, but not for ours. He's probably stopped talking about closing the economy down again, right? I mean, I can't imagine that you have numbers that show people.
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, the greatest challenge we're going to have now is just making sure he stays in the middle of the road.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, he's on a path now that is a winning one.
Right.
And to not take the bait on, you know, going left.
Okay.
Because, you know, we've got to assume the base is fired up and wants Trump to go.
Right.
And so you can actually run on the issues that matter for the majority of Democrats and the overwhelming majority of independents or undecideds.
Right.
So
and then screw them all after the election.
All right. Well, anything else? I mean, we have you, Ted, you've been great as always. We'll have to have you on back more if that's okay as we get closer.
Oh, sure. Happy
and
to.
Place out.
Happy
all right.
To.
Thank you for your time.
Thanks, you're
great as always.
You bet.
We'll talk to you next time.
Good to see you.
Nice to see you
Take
too.
Care.
Thank you, Ted. Bye-bye. All right, so folks, what do you guys think? 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. With all due respect to Ted, I do not think it would be a Biden blowout. I don't think...
Based on what?
Based on just the people I talk to. I mean,
but that's really, it's called anecdotal evidence.
Well, so
you remind me of Kale, who in 1968 said, well, let me finish this. She said, I can't believe that Nixon won. No one I know voted for
him. No, you didn't let me finish. Well, what I was going to say is the election the last time around, Trump won the national popular vote. More people voted for Trump.
He didn't win the national popular vote.
He won the Electoral College. Right. He won the Electoral College. But it was roughly split. I think
It was a 3-point difference. And so really
I don't think Trump has lost very many, if any, supporters. Like you keep saying, maybe Craig Silverman, right? And some of those never Trumpers, so I don't think voted for him anyway. Right. So I think Trump has not lost his base. So I don't know where are these imaginary people that the Democrats, well, they are imaginary people. We know with the election cheating, but I mean, where are these, all these people coming from that suddenly are going to give Biden a blowout? If Hillary Clinton didn't have a blowout, then why on earth is there reason to think that Joe Biden is going to have a blowout?
See my two reasons.
Okay.
One, you know, they are not taking this election as a foregone conclusion, which they did 4 years ago. They're going to rig every important state. They're already doing it in the Michigan.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The blowout will come through rigging and cheating.
Well,
that's what
they're doing.
Oh,
they're
that's rigging, why they're confident. Cringing. All right, yeah. All
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And here in Colorado, you know, we just sit here and think, oh.
Let
me finish.
Okay, I thought you did.
No, I didn't. The only poll I've seen lately that's been encouraging is the Harris poll, which showed Trump nationally only 2 points behind, which would make it, you know, no different than the Hillary election.
Right.
But there's so many other polls showing, including Rasmussen, who's not a Democratic, you know, stooge at all, showing Trump 8 or 9 points behind.
But isn't Trump, I mean, because I would push back on Ted, even though he's not here. I think, though, that Trump's numbers in the economy, I don't think it is a wash. I think that Trump is doing much better on the economy than Joe Biden.
But not enough, because it, you know, before COVID, yes. But then after COVID, and none of them recognize that it's really the Democrats in key cities and states that are closing everything down. And otherwise, Trump is doing a great job. Because I think Biden will destroy the country. I think Polis is well on the way to destroying Colorado.
With Mary Hancock's help.
Yeah, well, Hancock's help, yeah. And they're awful people.
I want to set one thing straight, though. In the mainstream media, all you're hearing about today is Trump refuses to denounce white supremacists, right? Which is total. And we're going to play a clip here in a second. So just in case, you know, you haven't paid attention or you didn't catch it, but when he was asked last night, would he be willing to denounce white supremacists? Trump said, sure, I'm willing to do that. Now, everybody completely ignored that. But then some guy that Ali Alexander, who I follow on Twitter, found Chris Wallace, the same Chris Wallace, the Democrat, registered Democrat, asking Trump the same question about denouncing white supremacists, in which Trump said, I denounce him. So even though Trump, every time they ask him, he denounces white supremacists, the immediate headline is Trump refuses to denounce white supremacists. So we're going to play you the clips. Thomas, if we could go ahead and play the Trump denounces white supremacist clip.
Disavow the Ku Klux Klan. I totally disavow David Duke. I've been doing it now for 2 weeks. This is, you're probably about the 18th person that's asked me the question. It was very clear. That question was also talked about in the form of groups. Groups. I want to know, which groups are you talking about? You have to tell me which groups. Ultimately, he got to the Ku Klux Klan, which obviously I'm going to disavow. And by the way, if you look on my Twitter account, almost immediately after the program, they were disavowed again. You know, it's amazing. When I do something on Twitter, everybody picks it up, goes all over the place. But when I did this one, nobody ever picks it up. Take a look at my Twitter account.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, thank you. Thanks.
Are you willing tonight to condemn white supremacists and militia groups and to say that they need to stand down and not add to the violence in a number of these cities, as we saw in Kenosha and as we've seen in Portland?
Sure, are you prepared to do that?
See, sure, I'm willing to do that, right?
Well, what don't you get, Julie? They're going to continue
to
say...
Oh, I get it. I'm just setting the record straight.
Well, setting the record straight. If you haven't figured that one out, then you're just a Democratic partisan.
No, I figured it out, but that's why I'm playing it, to make sure we can't just lay there and say, oh, well, they did it again.
He's denied it, he's denied it, and they'll keep on saying he won't deny it. But they control the press. They control everything. They control the major corporations.
But I think the media has far. I mean, the numbers that we have seen so far, and again, this could all change because these are mostly the network numbers, and we don't have the live streaming numbers. But show that fewer people watched that debate than did the first night of the presidential debate in 2016.
I have no idea why. Maybe there are more alternatives. Maybe there's less interest. I believe there's less interest. But they also showed, as you showed, that it's up on MSNBC. What I think is the most encouraging, because I think it did get a huge audience, even it was slightly down from 2016 or a little bit down from 2016, is that most people thought that either Trump won or it was 50-50.
Right.
Which I think is incredibly encouraging, because I think those who are adamant Trumpers, like myself and you, really want him to do well. We really want him.
Right.
We really wanted him to deliver a knockout punch. He was not able to do that. But if he was viewed as winning the debate, that's a good indication of where the country is. I mean,
right.
You know, if I went on NJ.com, NewJersey.com, and I voted in that one, and it was 50-50, basically. And you see things, and I voted saying Trump won, even though, there wasn't one. Was it a kind of a mishmash? But that indicates where people are. And it's contrary to where all these polls say they are.
Well, and I think, again, you know, and you have, again, all due respect to Ted Trimpa, I think that it's close enough. I think last time Ted was able to say, well, I think we need to be a little bit worried about Trump, because he actually wasn't worried about Trump, right? I think this time they're all saying, oh, blowout, 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 because they are worried about Trump, because I don't think the numbers hold for a blowout. I also think it's interesting.
Well, the numbers do.
All the Democrat lapdog media outlets are saying Trump or Biden shouldn't debate next time. No debate, no debate, no debate. They're not saying no debate because they thought Joe Biden had a stellar performance. They're all just glad Joe Biden made that through alive. And they saw, they did not see, again, I disagree with Ted, Biden looking statesmanlike, right? Oh. They saw Biden looking old, kind of confused. I was listening to it a little bit on the radio, and I tell you what, Biden came across way worse on the radio. His speech was slurry. If you were trying to transcribe his answers, if you're just listening on the radio, mm-hmm. you're like, what's he saying? Wait, what? What? I mean, it's like when you see the interpreters trying to keep up with him. So,
well, I didn't see the strategy. I mean, I agree with Ted that he went after Biden too early, interrupted too often. And you know, Chris Wallace was revolting. Just revolting.
Right.
And you expect him to be revolting. So I'm almost used to him being revolting. But he really was, you know.
There was no pushback, right? Yeah,
Whenever Trump, they say, quit interrupting. Right. When Biden interrupted, there's nothing. Then there was the white supremacy question. And then there was climate science.
Yeah. Like, if you're Trump, you want to say, which climate science are you talking about here, Chris?
You've got to get a better answer to that. But you know, he was biased and bigoted. But you expect the next one will be worse. It's an NBC employee, but so that'll be even worse. But we don't have a choice. We've got an election, and we've got to buck them up and buck ourselves up and do whatever can.
Well, here again, I disagree with Ted. And he said, well, Trump had to energize his base. I think Trump's base is plenty energized. I think it's a Democrat base. You know, again, I don't want to put, you know, thought words in my daughter's mouth, so to speak, but where she was like, I would never vote for Trump. But it would not shock me. Let me put it this way. It would not shock me if she just didn't vote. Right. She's not thrilled about Biden. She certainly wasn't saying, I'm going to vote for Biden.
Especially if she's sedated him for the next month and a half.
That switched gears just a little bit. I mean, if people want to call in, we can still talk about that. 888-627-6008. But another sort of extraordinary thing going on today. So Jim Comey, I mean, we've almost forgotten, which we should never do, about the Russia hoax and the corruption of the deep state and the weaponization of the FBI to try to take down a sitting president. I mean, keep that in mind as we go through this election process. Look at all the things that the Democrats and the deep state have done to try to get rid of Donald Trump.
Yes.
And I guess when you want to say he was combative, I mean, you can hardly blame the guy, right? You've got the FBI launching a fake investigation.
When it was done, was it effective? Yes, he should have been combative. But everything is timing.
No, I understand. But Jim Comey today was testifying, although like Lindsey Graham, better late than never, I'm not sure. But Comey, former FBI Jim Comey, was testifying about the Steele dossier, the origins of the FBI investigation, the Crossfire Hurricane investigation. And who was that guy? Sergeant Schultz? I know nothing. I know nothing. That's all he kept saying. I know nothing. They're like, you know, do you know who, you know, Peter Strzok is? I know nothing. You know, do you know? I mean, he was just stuff that he should have known, right? It's like, well, I didn't know that there were questions about, you know, the source. I didn't know that we interviewed the source. I didn't know that I told them to go ahead and do the investigation. I mean, it was just crazy. And I want to play a clip. Now, this is Senator Mike Lee, who initially opened up his comments by saying he used to have respect for Comey, but not anymore. So, Thomas, if we could play the Senator Lee clip here too, please.
Here it comes. Here it comes.
Comey, with all due respect, you don't seem to know anything about an investigation that you ran. So how can you now, as a private citizen and former FBI director, show up and then speculate freely regarding any alleged ties between President Putin and President Trump? I heard you say just a moment ago, now I hope I misunderstood you. Please correct me if I did. I think I heard you say that you still speculate they might have something on President Trump because of how President Trump refers or doesn't refer to President Putin in public. This, of course, takes into account nothing about the fact that sources you've relied on in the past have turned out not to be accurate. You didn't identify the inaccuracies subsequently to the FISA court. It acknowledges nothing about the fact that there are perfectly reasonable explanations as to why one leader would refer to a foreign leader in a certain tone, or the fact that this is the same tone that he uses in referring to other world leaders, particularly those world leaders in parts of the country where we've had some issues. So honestly, how can you as a private citizen now come to us and in your capacity as former FBI director and speculate so freely regarding these alleged ties when you don't seem to know anything about this investigation that you ran?
And Comey's like, I don't know about that either. You know, and let's go back. What else came out is not only were there no ties between Putin, the Russians, and Trump, there were very much ties between the Clinton people and the Russians, right? The whole thing was, as we said in our show with Michael Tao years ago, the whole Russia hoax was cooked up by the Hillary Clinton campaign because she had all that embarrassing stuff coming out in the WikiLeaks emails.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And I thought Josh Hawley did a very good job on him. I thought Ted Cruz, you didn't get to see Comey there in that little clip, but Comey looked sedated and he looked, you know, not that, you know, flamboyant, confident, right. You know, kind of I'm in control of everything. He looks chagrined because he hasn't spent most of his life people thinking of him as Ted Lee did, as opposed to what he thought of him, you know, not that long ago. And he was a disgrace. He was an absolute amoral disgrace.
Well, he has been.
Well, I suppose he has been, but it really came across this time.
Yeah.
Lindsey Graham did his usual insanity in which he conceded that the Russians hacked the email of Clinton, which has been disproved.
Once again, even CrowdStrike, even the Democrats, yes, acknowledged that they have no evidence, just so we're clear here, that there was no evidence that the Russians hacked anything.
Okay, so I think Comey demonstrated that the FBI is corrupt all the,
yes,
way through.
Yeah.
And that he could sit there and say this is a competent and well-done investigation.
But I don't know this. I don't know that.
I don't know who did this. What did we verify? I don't know. I don't know. I don't recall. I don't recall. He said about one thing about the Hillary campaign, that FBI memo that Radcliffe put out. He said, that doesn't ring a bell. Now, that's a great phrase to use when you don't want to get, you're afraid of perjury.
Right.
Because that doesn't ring a bell, doesn't say that was never brought to me, my intention. It's just a kind of a vague denial.
Well, you'd think, how did he write
through
a book?
Let me finish.
I'm sorry.
And so I think he's really gotten to the point of a really, I don't know. J. Edgar Hoover was never as bad as Jim Comey.
Well, how do you write a whole book, right? If he knew nothing about anything, what was his book about, right? I mean, he's you know, made a whole career going on CNN and talking to everybody about all this stuff about which he now acknowledges he knew absolutely nothing. But I think one of the reasons I wanted to bring that up is it is important to keep in mind that that's where we were 4 years ago. That was already going on 4 years ago, the attempt to overthrow the president. They're not going to wait for that to happen. I think we cannot overstate the importance of the lawsuits and the efforts that the Trump campaign people are doing to keeping an eye on the ballots and the fights in court to keep some of these corrupt measures from going on. Because I think perhaps in the end, that's really why Ted Trimp and the Democrats think it's going to be a blowout for Joe Biden, because they've got trucks of ballots sitting somewhere, right? And they're just going to, you know, bring them all on in.
Well, you know, it was brought out that Project Veritas did the one in Minnesota with a Somali immigrant community, and how crooked it was, and how they had all these people saying, I got 300 in my car, and everything else. And then you find out that the guy had originally gone, and the original source was a person in the Somali community. I first gone to the FBI, and there it was. Oh,
I don't know why you even call me.
That's strange to us, but we don't care about it. So, because there was so lackadaisical and languid, he went to Project Veritas. Well, that tells you what Ray's FBI is up to. They're up to nothing.
Well, and here's why, again, local elections matter, because, you know, I was talking with a group of women not that long ago, and they're like, well, yeah, but don't we have people who monitor the elections and they'll get that out? I'm like, no, we don't. I mean, it's a Democrat Secretary of State who's already sending out bazillions of postcards to people who are dead or can't vote legally, right? So how concerned is she about it? Not very, right? And then even if she were to say, hey, you know what, I think I found some improprieties here, she's going to refer it to the Attorney General Phil Weiser, who's never been in a courtroom himself anyway, and is too busy suing Trump over everything to be bothered with petty election fraud.
And
right?
If you go to Colorado, of course, they've all been picked by a Democratic governor, and they've all the federal ones are majority Democrats, and the Court of Appeals for the Tenth Circuit is Democrats. So it's really, I'll take that to court. Yeah, who's going to decide?
You know,
it's just. And how badly they've screwed us, and how badly the system is. And all we have, you know, I'm going to go tomorrow to a wonderful event run by Patrick Neville and others to raise some money.
Values First Colorado.
Thanks. And he said all these Republicans are trying to make sure nobody goes, because who are they after? And we just heard Ted. We just heard Ted say, you know, I see there's a lot of money in the Republican that he put in.
That the Democrats put in. You know, I think, though, that just kind of wrapping up here, one of the most outrageous things that Chris Wallace, the question he asked at the end about, because I think we are prepared. Everybody seems to be preparing us for, you know, not knowing on election night.
Forget election night anymore. Yeah, it's gone. It's a season. And all of you, don't protest about the fact the election's being stolen.
Well, but here's the thing. So he's asking Trump to make sure that his supporters are, I mean, completely ignoring the fact that it is the Antifa, that there is no violent. We were at Bandamere waving flags and singing songs and saying the Pledge of Allegiance. That's as outrageous as it got when he had a bunch of Trump supporters out there, right? It's like the Democrat supporters, the Joe Biden supporters are the ones who are rioting in the streets. They're burning things down. We saw just what last weekend in Denver, they were putting dumpsters to prevent police from getting in and out of the substation. I mean, it's outrageous that he asked Trump that and never drilled down on Biden on that.
Well, but we got to, you know, I'm going to go out and start knocking doors because, you know, they will destroy America. They will destroy it. Polis will destroy it. Well, Biden will destroy
You heard Ted. If you thought last election was bad,
wait till they totally go off the rails the next one. Mm-hmm. And then he says to me, well, you know, you don't want to get
Don't get too worried about it. Hey, that's going to do it for us. Coming up on Friday, we'll have Patrick Neville again.
And everybody wants to know about my Synergenics diet. I'm down to 258.8.
That's right.
So I broke the magic 260 line, and I keep on going down. So the next show, I'll give you an update, but it's magic what Synergenics can do for you.
Here's their phone number.
And your health, and 720-387-3681. 720-387-3681. You got to do it. for your own health and your family.
Thank you to Ted Trimpa. Thank you to the guys at BBS. Thank you to everybody listening on Zoom. Please go, if you miss our show or you want to catch the podcast, just go to chuckandjulie.com. And if you get a moment, go ahead and like and follow us on Facebook, and then like and follow us at our YouTube channel, which is linked to from chuckandjulie.com. That'll do it for us. Chuck will report in from the golf tournament. And also on Friday, Roger Edwards, who is running for RTD, which had to like shut down everything because they had a system screw up.
Roger Edwards is a great guy. He tried to get a nomination for CD6, and the Republican consultants shut him out. So that's a fight we go through. But hang in there. We'll prevail at the end.
We'll see you Friday. Thanks,
Take care, everybody.